And if we don't have it in the classroom, we can't do anything.
That was very good, I mean, what you told us, but I don't think it addressed itself to what Bill raised and what I followed up on. I didn't hear anybody say anything about having the cream of the crop amongst the whites and amongst the Negroes. He said something about having some representation that was a little more balanced, that wouldn't intensify, this wasn't said, but I think that this is implicit, that wouldn't intensify or exacerbate prejudices that possibly exist. Because if prejudices exist, if, for example, white kids come into a room feeling that Negroes are inferior, this kind of feeling with these kids is going to be intensified and strengthened, it seems to me, if these kids, if these Negro kids, consistently manifest the delinquency problems and constantly need the attention of the teacher for raising themselves academically. If, however, together with those Negro kids, we had other Negro kids who were of the caliber that you mentioned, of a Leslie and Laurie, etc., then there would be a recognition and an awakening amongst those kids with prejudices, the white kids, that just like with the whites, yeah, white kids who are inferior academically and some better academically, some who behavior problems and some who are not, just like with the Negro kids, so that when we talk about all peoples being equal, having good and bad in each minority group, then it makes some sense. Now, nobody disputes what you were saying, I don't think, but I don't think it addressed itself to the difficulty that was raised.
I can speak on that I have children who attend public school in a community where there is a large, very large Negro population. And we've lived in the community 15 years. When we went there, my older son was started school, but the persecution and prejudice was rampant in the schools against Negro and against the Jews. And I was asked, at the time we moved there, I was pregnant with Jim, was asked to lead a discussion group for nursery parents on and be on the school board. You know, they were anxious to get some. So I thought, this is marvelous. We went in there and started a fight, and really started a fight on the whole question of anti-Semitism and anti-Negroism. And by the time my kids, this went on for a number of years, by the time my older son was in school, he was an excellent student, an excellent athlete, you know, one of these kids that was all around. And he was a fighter for the rights of all people. And this kid carried on an organizing campaign with the children against the teachers in this school, who put everything that happened, blamed everything that happened, whether it was in the classroom or on the athletic field or in the gym or wherever, always on a Negro child. Now, I just went into this personal story to show how even in a, you know, I mean, the same thing can happen. The blame always gets put on the Negro children, whether it's their fault or not. I'd like to come back to my own class. And incidentally, just this is the situation, because people became aware of it. And to answer Elva's question that she raised, that this isn't the Negro's problem, and it isn't the Jew's problem, or any other minority group. It's the problem of all of us to end the pressures. And when people do work along this line, so much can happen. We all know this. But right here, I'd like to relate to my first grade class this year, having just finished a very nice performance, a public performance. In this group, there if these children, my feeling is that if all of our kids could enter the nursery and go right through nursery food, I'm sure we wouldn't have the problems that Bill had mentioned in his class that exists today. Because through going through the school, with where children are helped to feel better about themselves and proud of themselves and who they are, you don't have the problems that exist when they come in. Why is it? I mean, any of us, and I don't care whether we're Negro, whether we're sky blue pink, or what we are, if we are full of problems, it's going to take us more than a year to be able to cope with these problems. And when we're full of problems, we don't function. We as teachers can't function on a very high level if we're full of problems, if we have personal problems or school-wise or whatever. We don't function as very capable human beings, and the same thing is true of the kids. Now, to get to the first graders, for example, the children wanted Emile. Emile has a little Negro boy who's very bright but has a lot of problems, nervous problems. He has a hard time speaking. He has a hard time. He's not a very poised child. The children wanted Emile. They said, Emile, would you be the announcer for this land? That was the end of the program. And one of our very favorite songs, we sing it day in and day out. You know, it's part of our lives. And it has meaning to us, other than just a song, I think. And Emile said, yes, he would like to know. And the children helped him. You know, with he'd get up and he'd practice what, you know, God would like to say. And they'd say, now, Emile, so that you got to Emile go sit this fly, you know, this is a nervous habit. And they make a suggestion, why don't you put your hands in the back of it? No. Well, this was I go into this because it's a helping thing. Emile did a beautiful job, really beautiful job in my opinion. It's nice, don't you know, Mildred, in making this announcement. And the whole purpose of working, I mean, I feel this is social studies, what happened today and what happens in the classroom. To me, this is what we outlined in our previous meetings on social studies, is to make ourselves better aware, rather, more perceptive of each other and the problems of life, and to make it a better life to live in. And when children can help each other, and a teacher can help herself better understand and to be a better person because of the children with whom she works and the example that they set, as well as the example she may set. This seems to me our job and our role in a school like this. And I feel that I don't know if I should say this or not, but I feel that those of us who are working in a school like this, we do have a definite role. I hope the day will come, and not too far away, when all of us, we don't have to have a school like downtown community, but all of us will be working, and our parents who are working for this kind of education, really working for it, can all be in there pitching so that we won't have a handful of kids coming into the seventh grade with such acute problems, you know, problems because of the pressures of living. I think this is all, I'm sorry, I'm long-winded, but I think all of this isn't something that you can just, you know, you can't just take the match out of the matchbox and strike it. You've got to have, it's a much more complicated part of living. And is our life outside of the school any different, you know, the problems that exist, any different than they are in our classrooms, really? And what are we trying to do? We're trying to teach these kids, these intellectual giants of the seventh grade, you know, that this is not what life is going to be like when they get out. I think that it's very good that they have to, and I think if Bill has, or whoever is the teacher of a group like this, has an additional responsibility to himself as a person and to these kids to see that relationships, the right kind of relationships, are developed here.
And implicit in what I said is this, not that we should
exclude the children systematically that aren't high achievers, but merely because we are concerned with this philosophy and its goals and its application, that we do what I think is implicit in what you just said, and that is address ourselves to this problem, which is very real.
Yeah, well, that's what the workshop like to explore. Yes?
I'd like to bring up something. I don't think we can group all the Negro children in the school as the Negro children.
Right.
Now, some of them who I have in fifth grade, have been in the school for a number of years, and I don't see any burning desire in them to learn. And they have, even speaking to the parents, minimum and emotional problems. At the same time, I do have a child who just came into this school this year, who I feel in 2 years will be one of the brightest students. He has behavior problems now, but his mother recognizes. She's willing to put him into therapy to help him overcome. His curiosity has been around. He's come from a public school because he read on third grade level. He's the best reader. He's been exposed to so much now. He's learned a lot from the kids. He's really sort of perked up intellectually as well as behavior-wise. But this in a year or two will become more organized and more systematic. And I don't think this will happen to some of the other Negro children. Some of them have been in here from nursery school. Some of them do have problems, some of them don't. Some of them will be good students that they know how to attack work, they know how to organize it, they know how to carry it through. Some of them, like this boy Donald, will go beyond that and be developed inside them. A sort of a creative thinking, have sort of a spark to him.
I mean, in other words, they're all human beings.
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah.
And the others, like Harold Massey, with good leaders, they'll plug along their whole life. Maybe eighth grade they'll blossom, but I wouldn't count on it.
Sorry, I missed your point.
I was saying that we can't lump these children together, and I was talking about, say for example, someone like Donald Wallace, who came in this year and really intellectually, really very perked up, very stimulated, because his mother was willing to recognize his problem and take care of them, he will be a very good student in dealing
sure.
too. There's no doubt about that. But then take someone like George Bridges or Harold Massey. I don't see any great day for them. Maybe Harold, because his mother plugs for him. She wants it for him. But I don't see that drive in George. So that the differences among
yeah.
them, too. And the girls and the Kara's coming along nicely because some of her problems have been eradicated. She'll get better. She may not have any great creativity on an intellectual level.
But we can't say,
it's coming along. Angela has to overcome some of the language cultural problem that she has. But she is a bright girl. But, you know, the brightness is measured in different ways.
Lamont is a different child entirely, too.
That's right.
And this is exactly the point that we have to look at these youngsters as individuals.
As they are.
And that is one of the points that made at the very beginning here, that when situations arise, that we do look at children as individuals. Now, I don't know how much these white children, how they look at Negro children in terms, I'd be interested in terms of the class that Bill is talking about. But however they look at the situation, I think that we have to look at each child as an individual child with a variety of aspects to his life, some of them that definitely relate to prejudice and some that don't. And we have to see them as individuals. There are in this class also white children who have problems. And if an intelligent white child draws a conclusion after seeing some white children with problems and Negro children with problems, that all Negro children have problems, then...
We fail.
But I don't think we should worry too much about this. Or even, I feel it's more the parents.
Yeah.
I think that this is it. And I say before, just as a sort of summary of this whole thing, there are some classes where there are Negro children at this point who are functioning on as good level as any of the white children.
Better.
Yes.
So
there are some classes. Then there are a few classes where there are no Negro children functioning on a high level. But I would bet anything, anything that by the time they graduate from the school, there will be Negro children in each of these classes that are functioning on as good level as any white child. And so that I think that this is what we have to look at, and this is our goal.
I was going to say, I think the children tend to look at, the Negro children as different children. They don't lump them together normally, unless they would get it from a parents. Even take your class.
Yeah, but that's exactly Bill's point. He's pointing out that if they consistently see lower abilities, then they...
But then they see
Negro children who were good students, for instance,
Lisa, I don't know whether she will ever really blossom forth academically, but they see her as a beautiful dancer and a talented person, or even Skipper, as a very talented dancer and a good dancer, and I think he's a good athlete. And I think they look for different characteristics and different children and accept them as children. Maybe they're annoyed with different ones at different times for certain kinds of behavior, but I doubt whether any of our kids, unless, as I've said, they get it through parents that, oh, it's too bad those Negro children are in that class, they pull the class down.
I think this also points up another point that we have to look at what is achievement in our classes, what is excellence, that we have to think of a variety of qualities. You mentioned some, but there are subtler situations like Pavlova, where it was not a matter of dancing or athletics or anything like that, but just a quality of mind that is outstanding. That I think we have to watch and see that in the class, the status is not simply achieved by verbal ability, and that there are a variety of abilities, and this will make, not only in terms of the interracial situation, but in general, will make a better, healthier situation.
I think we might say to Sam, if we had the choice, or we were able to have more Negro children so that we could balance, have a balance group, we would certainly do it.
If it's considered correct or better for the school to have a more balanced representation, then steps should be taken to implement it.
Well, that's easy to say.
I know it's easy to say, Norman, but the argument here, the discussion has been a defense of the kind of representation that we have here.
Not a defense of it, but an explanation of it.
I didn't understand properly.
If the choice were no Negro children, if we couldn't have this balance, would you say we should have
no? No, I can't
answer
that.
But we feel that we have been helping a great number of these children.
But Sam, you really don't think that we wouldn't want to have a more...
No, I didn't say that. But I don't know how to go about it. But it seems to me that if we accept the fact that the school would be better, that our problems of erasing prejudice would be overcome more easily if we had a better balance, that we should make definite attempts. Now, Norman obviously knows more about it than I, and says that's easier said than done. Then, all right, I'm willing to accept that, but I thought that the whole discussion here was a taking two separate viewpoints, and that I was proposing one viewpoint as opposed to the viewpoint that this isn't necessarily healthy for the school and so on. But with the explanation now that it would be good to have that, I don't have anything further to say.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way, Sam. That in terms of the whole problem of integration and the question of moving the world and changing the world, under the circumstances, what we have is, I would say, the best situation that we can get. When I say about taking steps to do something, maybe it's a tired person at the end of a tired year. But we have an enrollment committee that's, gone down every alley and tried everything. And that's why I think we come back to it that we're getting more enrollment now with Lima White. And it's coming not through any of the gimmicks we had, but just simply through a lot of satisfied parents. And under the circumstances, I think it was better to have a larger number of Negro children than to have a select number of Negro children. That was that much choice we had. We could have done more selecting and had a fewer Negro children. But one of the reasons why our school has a good reputation in the Negro community is simply because of the numbers of Negro children. I know a mother who is going to pull her child out of the younger group this year unless we got some more Negro children, because of this thing we talked about before, how hard it is for a child, one child of a group, to be in a class. And if our numbers came indiscriminately with psychotic children and so on, I would say that numbers aren't good. But these children, they're tested before they come in, and we know that they're all capable of high achievement or good achievement ultimately. So that I would say that as a choice between the numbers we have and a more select policy, that this numbers policy was better. Bob, you had your hand up.
I just, in fourth grade, there are 3 Negro children. That's not a lot of children, but they range from, in achievement, from average work to excellent work. There aren't any really at the low end in achievement and the kind of work they do. I guess it's not typical, judging from 7 to 6, but that's what it is at that.
No, you look at the first grade, the same thing is true. And I think most of the classes, but certainly the sixth and seventh grade are outstanding examples of the kind of thing that Sam and Bill have been describing. And certainly this is not desirable.
Well, take my class, Norman. I think you were referring to the LeBaron had been the only Negro child in the first and second grade.
That's right.
And this year we have 2 more Negro children. Now it just happens the 2 new children who came, boy and a girl, both are behavior problems and low achievers. They have made progress. However, does it help LeBaron to see the 2 new Negro children coming in being rather serious problems? You see, that's another question. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that by and large it will, yes, because I think that you'll see a lot of change in both cases in another year, and in the long run, I think it will.
The teachers can't
stand. Norman, you raised another point previously about evaluating our kids on levels other than the purely scholastic, and I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I'm probably more extreme than you about that. But what you're doing is bucking practical situations. You're bucking the society, you're bucking the parents, you're bucking the high schools, and you're bucking the colleges. And it's a wonderful theoretical thing to talk about, but I'm afraid that we don't get very far as far as really changing kids' minds about the importance of marks, much as I derogated.
Well, I just like to say that's true. In this world, you have to have intellectual ability to function. But I think that by bringing to the group the contribution of each person and making each person feel that he is making a contribution, then in turn makes this child more secure so that he can grow intellectually. See? There's always that relationship to me. It's the tense child with problems who can't relax, who can't learn. And so it's part of the problem is helping him to feel important so that he doesn't begin to learn.
I would like to say, Sam, I don't think we've been pointing out special qualities in certain children. We don't say that these are the chief qualities and we're content to let the academic achievement go by. We have to hold these children to very high standards, just as we want to hold all the other children to high standards. In fact, one of the points that
you mean high academic standards?
Well, as high as they can, we take it for granted they can reach these academic standards and the demanding of it and trying in every way, whether it's private tutoring or extra work or whatever. We don't know what achievement any child can, how high any child can achieve, unless we really try. Now, one of the points that Kenneth Clark made very sharply about integrating Negro children, making this a really interracial school, he said, we'll do any Negro child a great disservice if we don't expect him and know that, and he must know that he's expected to do very good work and that there are not special standards for him because maybe we're sympathetic, he's had a lot of problems and so on. Sure, we're sympathetic and understanding, but still we make him work awfully hard.
Nobody denies that.
We're not just pushing the academic.
It's 5 o'clock, and I think we're all tired. I think we really got down to one of the basic problems. I'm glad we did, because I think we ought to go on to some aspects of the curriculum that relate to interracial building attitudes and so on. But this certainly is fundamental.
We sort of cut you off a moment. You opened originally talking about this whole interracial aspect and the parents' attitudes and so forth, and how the school is to be sustained via this philosophy. And I don't think you have a chance.
I think that would require quite a bit of time too, because I think it needs to be gone into. There's a real problem, a very deep problem here in terms of the philosophy of the school and maintaining it. The philosophy of the school is not only interracial, but children of different economic levels. It goes even into the board and the discussions of salaries and scholarships and the whole thing.
Raising of tuition?
Yeah. And in all of these, the question, I think we should say more about the whole business of parents and to being able to move the parents as we move the children. That's an important thing. But, I would say by and large, the leadership among the parents in all the years that I've been here has been genuinely interested in the philosophy of the school, and there hasn't had to be any battle as far as that is concerned. Speaking of the parents, we've had some very good workshops among the parents, and some real basic discussions have come out of them, but that is a big question in itself, and I hope sometime that we have at least the fundamentals written down so that teachers could get us at the very beginning of the year, and I'm sure the people will feel that this discussion would have been helpful earlier in the year, but as you can't do everything.
It was therapeutic by cold, and I haven't seen it.